The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here for the second half of the show. We had Jalen Hurts' dad on an hour ago, Coach Avarian Hurts, talking about his son's big day on Sunday in Glendale. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Robert in South Carolina. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Robert. Hey, Paul. I'm a first-time caller, so I've been listening to you for a long time, and I've got great respect for you. I really do. I am a retired surgeon, and I moved here from the South. I grew up in Iowa, and I've been a Big 12 or Big 8 fan, and I love Iowa State, and it's where I grew up.
Thank you.
But and I've got children who've gone to school both at Carolina and at Clemson, and I like both schools, and I think they're both high-grade schools and both athletic programs. Out of the total respect for you, I am becoming disappointed in conversations that come about Dabo. I feel as though you've got the greatest objective answers that I just totally agree with and that I think the most of. But when you start talking about Dabo, it seems like you kick into a new type of phase that becomes non-objective and just goes off the wall, off the paddock. And I'm sorry about that. And so I'm not calling being critical.
Let me ask you a question,
it's your show.
Robert.
It's your show, but I'm just
By the way, I agree with you. I think you're right. I do. So I'm going to ask you, back in your surgery days, before you go in to cut something out, you have to look at the x-rays, right? You have to study what the situation is. And I think I'm asking you to help me. You need to go in and take that Dabo cancer out of my body so I can go back to being objective. Because
you just get such good answers. You get such good deep thought. And you're so, and you only have the Monsignor on. I just think that's
wonderful. Well, I would agree. By the way, there is some history. I like Dabo. We have had kind of a running feud for a couple of years. He did something that I will never forgive him for, if I could be honest with you.
Sure.
He did it twice, and it really bothered me. And you want to be forgiving, don't you?
Yeah.
But I can't forgive.
Absolutely.
He beat Alabama twice, and I just can't get over it.
Look,
the second time by 28 points. I mean, I walked out of that stadium in California.
I
go, I will never say anything good about this man again.
Well, maybe with a little time, things will mature. Maybe
you think I do. Do you think I need to go under the knife, or do you think I can deal with this?
No,
on my
I don't
own?
Think you need to go under the knife.
Okay.
I just think sometimes somebody just says, "Hey,
let me ask you a question. I'm curious. How long did you were you a surgeon?
I've been a surgeon about 40 years.
Oh my goodness, boy! I'd hate to ask you about how the industry has changed in that time, but I think I know. It's been pretty dramatic.
It's changed tremendously. There's no question about it. But it's all been, for the most part, for the good.
Yeah. Wow. That's that is such fascinating. Did you do general surgery or anything specific?
No, I was a chest surgeon, and I also did transplants at Colorado.
Oh, my goodness.
When we were in our very infancy.
How long? I mean,
and I moved to the South because I love the South, and my wife is from here, and we've been strong supporters both of Clemson and Carolina, and SEC conference. I don't think there's no question; it's the number one best, and I try to look at everything
like
that.
That is fantastic. How long? I mean, how long do some of these? Complex surgeries. How long do they go? I mean, how long have you been in there?
Well. I hate to tell you, the first liver transplant that I participated in was 24 hours.
Oh my goodness!
We did though go, you know, in teams.
Okay.
Much like those kind of things do, but most operations now last 3-4 hours.
Now, I've known a few cardiovascular surgeons in the past, one of them told me once that they would often listen. Is this true that sometimes surgeons will listen to music while they're doing surgery?
I couldn't do it except if we were at a non-essential part of the operation.
But that does happen, does it?
Oh, it does happen.
That is the weirdest thing in the world.
There's times in the operation that you don't have to have your full attention to things. But when you get down to the real
thing, I don't know about
you,
Doc. I don't want my surgeon listening to some crazy rock group while he's cutting out my gallbladder or something. I mean, I don't know.
But I'm not going to do that even at home.
That is, that's
like
really
hold
amazing.
I just like holding you in high esteem, and I think you've been great.
Okay, well, you've been good for me because it took someone to bring this to my attention, someone that I respect, and I am going to do better, Robert. There's no reason now that Clemson has fallen off the national map. There's no reason for me to continue these idle shots at Dabo.
Okay. And give them do if they do get come back up.
I will. I'll be the first one to say what a great coach he is and how wrong I've been. Well, Doc, thank you very much. What a pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you very much.
Well, can you imagine being in surgery for 24 hours?
No.
Liver transplant? That's serious stuff. That is, wow. Let's go next to a guy who I suggested yesterday needs surgery. He needed an intervention or an exorcism. I-Man is next.
Mm. Can you imagine being stitched up by a doctor listening to the drum solo of Inagata DeVita?
No, but you've heard these stories.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially cardiovascular surgeons for some reason. I don't know why that group, but yeah, I mean, they're in there rocking away.
Yeah, but if you turn on that Russian death march, it goes da 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 da, then you're probably in trouble.
Imagine listening to Ramble On while you're doing surgery.
Oh yeah, maybe maybe even some other the Robert Plant solo stuff.
Yeah,
you know, 29 Palms, all that kind of stuff. Big Love? Is that Big Love?
Big Love. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, Paul, I find this all kind of interesting. You're telling the doctor you're going to get off Dabo, but you know that's not true.
Well, I know that's not true. I wouldn't say that to a respected surgeon like that if I was just
hey, listen, there's nobody listening but me and you. Cut out the BS.
Okay.
It's all about the little fella with the pink jacket, just like J.K. said. And, you know, I find it interesting that you throw me and J.K. and a couple other folks out there. You know, we are the oil in the machine that drives this bus. This is a Bammer show. It was created as a Bammer show because they whine and cry and moan and groan better than anybody out there in the movies on Wino Avenue or in the gutter. They whine and cry. They celebrate. Hell, they come over to your house and knock all the windows out of your car after a ball game, and they ain't gonna tell you what they'll do at the Crystal in New Orleans.
Ooh, now you're going old school on us.
Absolutely, and there's nothing like a drunk Bammer lady jumping over about three aisles in a stadium because her team didn't win. But, you know, I'm not saying anything, but you know we drive the bus. I mean, you know it's a Bammer show. And they can be pushed around real easy. And you come in here and you try to protect them, and then you body slap them. But then you try to protect them and pick them up, and you dust off the pants and everything. Then you forearm them in the back of the hand. And then we do it consistently, and that's because we're real good at it. Because we don't care about the program. We don't care at all about the University of Alabama. We don't care what it stands for. We understand their fans are our friends and family members and stuff like that. But, you know, some of them we don't care for either. And, you know, we might even make them sit outside, you know, on Thanksgiving. in the snow, uphill, long way away from the table, long way away from the heat. But you know, Paul, there's somebody said something other about, I forget which one of your lovely callers it was, said, you know, I shouldn't be calling, that he would pay something. All right, now you're not paying me anything for calling you. Is that correct? That's a fair statement.
We don't pay anyone.
You don't pay anybody.
No,
because I haven't gotten a check.
No.
So if you're not gonna pay me for calling, just what kind of money are we talking about if I don't call?
Double that.
We will double what we don't pay you.
Oh, so it'd be a lot of zeros. There's a whole bunch of zeros, Paul, but there's nothing in front of them zeros.
I mean, are you suggesting that you think you're worth being paid to call in the show?
Absolutely. I mean, if that kid can go to Florida and get a $13 million deal on paper that was no damn good, you think you could write me a $13 million deal that was no damn good?
That's an interesting question. If we did NIL on this show, who would get the most money?
I would think Jim.
Well, he's not dependable, so I don't think.
I would think.
I mean, he would be Jay Bruschotta. We'd sign him to a big deal, and he would never show up.
I would think Jim, in all fairness, and I think Legend.
Legend.
And I would probably be somewhere in the top five or six, maybe.
I bet with Larry we could trade out.
Listen, if you got to sit there and wait for old man Larry to get up out of the chair, you know, shuffle over behind you like that old fella did on the lap end when he was sitting down at the end of the bench with Ruth Buzzy. And then to you have to prop his arms up so he can get the sleeper hold on you, and then you got to do the squeezing for him. I mean, Larry is just Larry just content to sit over there in the boat with his 30-06 and fish and wish about the good old days, because his good old days are over as far as University of Alabama has gone, and he'll remember them and he'll wear them well. He won't like them. But let's talk about that NIL money. I mean, you ought to be working up something like that. It's an interesting conversation, because they ain't too many people push the Bammers around like JK and I have, and we're getting a lot of conversation. And just like you said the other day, I am the longest continuous caller on this program. And what have I been doing the longest continuous call? Pushing the Bammers around. Or Dan Eagle, you have a great day, Paul Feinbaum.
We'll take a break. Pat Forte joining us. Get his take on the world of sports and your phone calls right after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back. It's great to have you here. And let's talk to Pat Forte, always one of our favorite stops, and his latest in SI about the dangers when college coaches become emperors. This is about basketball, but it could be about football as well. Pat, thank you for joining us. Your commentary about Jim Boeheim left me laughing and crying, laughing because it was really funny and crying because I still can't figure out what Jim Boeheim is still doing around, making a fool out of himself. But I'll let you explain. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Paul. Thank you. Jim Boeheim, 78 years old and in his 47th season as the coach of the Syracuse Orange. Both of those are true statements. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. And if you pulled somebody out of, say, Europe and said, yeah, there's a 78-year-old coach who's been there 47 years and he won't leave. be like, what? This is ridiculous. But that's what we have. And we have a guy whose career is certainly declining. The program is declining. He's mad at the world all the time, as a lot of 78-year-olds probably are. And he basically said to ESPN's Pete Thamel over the weekend, it's my decision whether I stay as a coach. I can do anything I want. And I think that hints at the problem there and a lot of other places when coaches gain so much power that they no longer have a boss and nobody can tell them what to do. And I think objectively, 98% of people can say Jim Boeheim needs to retire. But Jim Boeheim's the only one who can tell Jim Boeheim to retire, and he isn't doing it.
I'll play dumb here for a second, Pat. I don't know who the president at Syracuse is, so I'm assuming they have one. I do know who the athletic director is because he used to be my boss at ESPN. So can you explain to me why these two are putting up with it? And based on what you wrote, it looks like they're more interested in serving the emperor than critiquing him.
Yeah, Kent Siverud is the chancellor, and yes, John Wildhack is the athletic director. And, you know, president is a very political job, and I don't think he wants the political headache of taking the institution of Jim Boeheim away from Syracuse. But, the fans, I think, have turned. They've seen it, and they love Jim Boeheim, but they also like to win at their sport, and they've stopped winning. And so I think there's just less and less of a base of support for Boeheim here. And presumably you would get to a point where the president could feel empowered enough by the people who pay his salary to say, yeah, you got to go. But I don't know whether we can get there. I mean, in Jim Boeheim's mind, they can't. They can't tell him he needs to go. It's all his decision.
And Pat, this all started. He talked about three schools in the ACC and NIL. I mean, his point was that they're buying players. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I know. He said Wake Forest has bought their team. Pittsburgh bought their team. Miami bought their team, and that went over about as well as what Nick Saban said about Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M. Immediate blowback. He immediately tries to walk it back. There was no basis in fact regarding Pittsburgh or Wake Forest. And, you know, Miami had one player who had a very well-publicized big-dollar deal to come as a transfer. But the other part of the equation that Jim, has kind of wiggled his way around is they've got a booster who's out there trying to get guys for them. He's paying for unofficial visits for players to come there. He's not necessarily saying, I will give you $500,000 if you sign, but he's paying for them to come take a visit there, which is trying to buy players. So this is part of the nonsense that comes with Jim Boeheim.
Yeah, and listen, I've met him a couple of times. You know him really well. This is a guy that's been a basketball coach for 47 years and has won a national championship with Carmelo. I mean, he probably knows his way around the vagaries of the underbelly of college basketball.
I think that's a fair statement. They've had a lot of great players at Syracuse, some from places like Los Angeles, from Texas, wherever. I don't think the Syracuse winters were the big draw there. There may have been other reasons.
No, I've unfortunately been there in the wintertime, and it's no place you would ever want to go back to. I didn't intend to bring this up, but he did it to us again. Every time I talk to you, it seems like our good friend John Calipari lays an egg right beforehand. Double-digit loss at home last night to Arkansas, just as you thought maybe they were crawling out from the bubble and about to get on a roll or a run. What's the view in the Commonwealth today of John Calipari?
Well, utter fatigue, outrage. The fans are, there's a large percentage of the Kentucky fans that are done with him. The problem is the same reason with Texas A&M as Jimbo Fisher. He's got a contract that makes it very hard to be done with him. He would be owed like $40 million if you went and fired him at this point. It's the same song, different verse. And, the funny thing about Calipari, the dynamic, it's like, you think they're starting to get on a run, and then they blow it. And then you give up on them, and then they go on a little bit of a run. And so it's just never something where you get a definitive feel. But this very much looks like a third successive really disappointing season. You know, they went 9-16 a couple of years ago. Last year they had their worst tournament loss in the history of the program as a 2-seed to number 15 seed St. Peter's. You bring back the National Player of the Year in Oscar Tshiebwe, a lot of other good players. You start the year number one in the Ken Pomeroy rankings, number four in the AP rankings, and you're laying an egg right now. You're on the bubble. And so the fans have just, they've gotten tired of the Calipari act. It's the same act with declining returns, and they're done with it.
You know, what's so amazing, you know, it seems like in most years, it used to be maybe win the national championship, but now it's, you know, can John get them to the Final Four? I mean, we're sitting here in, you know, 1 week in and change in February trying to look at their schedule, which is pretty daunting, and figure out a way where they don't have to win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is daunting. I mean, they've still got Tennessee to play again. They've got to go at Arkansas. They've got Auburn. They've got a trip to Mississippi State. They've got some tough games, and right now they have one good win. It's a really good win at Tennessee, but that's the only one they've got, and they need to stack up some more wins to not go into that tournament with a lot of pressure on their shoulders. And even then, you know, you're looking at a 9, 10, 11 seed. I mean, if Kentucky plays in Dayton in the play-in games, that would be almost as bad as not making the tournament for that fan base.
And Pat, we always try to look for solutions to problems, and there is no solution in College Station, as you alluded. Based on all the reports, the conflicts, I don't even know where where the heat is these days, what the relationships are, but is this a resolvable situation?
For Jimbo or for Calipari?
Well, no, for Calipari.
Okay.
I don't think there is one for Jimbo, do you?
No, I don't either. But you said College Station.
Yeah, no, there, so I was just, yeah, no, let's say it was Calipari.
Gotcha. Okay, yes, sorry. No, I mean, I don't know what the resolution is, because he's stubborn and he's not going to walk away from that much money. He's not, you know, so you either need a horse farm billionaire to walk up and say, here's, I'll make the problem go away, or you got to deal with the problem. And he's got the number one recruiting class coming in next year, so there's always that hope, but he's had the number one recruiting class several times without being able to fully capitalize on it. They haven't been to a Final Four in 8 years. They haven't won a national championship in 11, and that was supposed to be the norm, and we are far, far from the norm.
Good times in the Commonwealth. Pat, we're talking about Boeheim, who really makes Calipari look like a young kid, and John Calipari. But basketball never ceases when it comes to drama. Hey, thank you. Always enjoy it. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Pat 40 on. We started off talking about Boeheim and ended up on Calipari. Now, I've been a broken record on how much I like John Calipari and think he's a great coach. That's becoming more challenging every day to make that statement. Not about liking him, about thinking he's a great coach. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jake is up next. Hey, Jake. Welcome to our show. Hey there.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We are doing great.
Good, man. Hey, I'm actually sitting here in SEC country, so I just sit next to my Bama fan, which I've actually heard Roll Tide about 195 times a day, if not about 495 times. So, just thought I'd call in. Obviously, you've seen that I'm from Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
Which, by the way, I know how much you love Cornhuskers and whatnot, but got to put it out there. By far the best college football team there ever was to play in the 95 Huskers. Just want to throw that all out to the SEC fans out there in the world listening.
You know what? You may be right about that. I've said that before. I'm not sure I'm still saying it, but that was an absolutely remarkable team.
That was yeah. T. Phrase, Lawrence Phillips, untouchable.
Yeah.
But so hey, my question for you is, Paul. What's your thoughts on Matt Rhule, and how do you think Nebraska will bounce back? Do you think he can get them back?
Jake, I think he's the best shot. I mean, I thought Scott Frost was a good solution, and it failed. So I think Rhule was miscast, not so much in pro football, but with the franchise he was with. He never could get a quarterback. It was just a weird situation. I watched it pretty closely. I don't think you can hold that against him. And I think he's where he belongs. I've always liked him as a college coach. I mean, he was spectacular at Temple and Baylor, and I think he'll be good. I mean, you know, the problem for Nebraska is what are the expectations now? I mean, this used to be one of the premier programs in the country. Coach got fired 15, 20 years ago because he was only winning 9 games a year. And now this program can't get to a bowl game. I think he'll do that. I think it'll be a slow turnaround, but I think he will ultimately be successful. Justin in South Carolina, you're on the air.
What's going on, Paul? How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Man, I got two things I want to say. Start off with one. I'm a diehard all my life, family, everything, Gamecock fan. And to hear Geno's comments after the game, and then last night I listened to Don Staley on the call-in show locally, yeah. And I can't blame her one bit for how she went off. I can't. You know, I mean, and I'm wondering also if Geno is not accepting the fact that he's not the gold standard of college basketball, women's college basketball.
Well, you know something, Justin? That is hard to accept because, I mean, he's – yeah, he and Pat Summitt used to vie for the crown, and then
I'm not thinking anything.
But he simply can't deal with the reality that it's essentially over for him, and that's hard to do. And you know, he's still great. I mean, nobody's going to take away his 10, 11, whatever national championships. But he's not going to win another one, and he's not going to beat Don Staley. So you know, he can whine and cry. And all she's going to do is mop the floors with him.
And it was kind of funny when he threw the water bottle on the court and they showed her, she was just grinning and laughing.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was really great to watch. I'm glad she said it. And by the way, she said it with class, too. She wasn't snippety about it like I would have been.
You know what's funny, Paul? You know, like, he threw the water bottle, got the technical. Well, when our backup center that was down there got technical for slamming the ball on the ground when she fouled out.
Mm-hmm.
The girl didn't say anything, went on the sidelines, and Dawn Staley high-fived her, and there was nothing said.
No, absolutely right.
And hey, that's clap.
You're
that
absolutely right. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Joe is in PA. In PA. Hey, Joe.
Okay.
Joe, you there? No, Joe. How about Kent in Georgia? Kent, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
You know, I've been listening to the show for a few days now, and a lot of people talking about Bear Bryant. And I really respect the man. I am a Georgia Bulldog fan, but, you know, I'm old enough to remember Paul Bryant and the what a great coach he was. And got a couple of friends that are big Bama fans. One of them was telling me this story the other day. I thought I'd relay it to you. A couple of years after Paul Bear Bryant died, it was the Iron Bowl, and I'll set this up for you. It was fourth quarter, 6 seconds left. Auburn had the ball on the 5-yard line, fourth down. Pat Dye called timeout. Just looked up at the sky and said, I really don't know what to do here. You know, we're behind by 3 points. I don't know if I should kick the field goal and tie the game, try to go into overtime, or if I should call a play and try to win this game and be the king of the state. And he said, I'm just asking you, what do you think I should do, Lord? And Lord said, well, I think you should run a student body right and try to win this game. And so Pat Dye did. He called a student body right. They ran the play. Linebacker blitzed, hit the ball carrier, and dropped him for a 70-yard loss. And Pat Dye looked up at the sky and said, Lord, why did you tell me to do that? And the Lord looked to his left and said, I don't know, Bear. Why did we tell him?
That's a great – what a great story.
So the –
It Bear actually happened, by the way, in the 1984 Iron Bowl. That's exactly what happened.
Bear sits at the left hand of the Father, and Jesus sits at the right hand.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, but anyway, I listen to the show, listen to a lot of these Alabama fans, and it really it makes me proud to have the competition with them, being a Georgia fan. Another quick one I got for you, listening to some of the guys like Legend, and I know he's going to run me through the mill for saying this, but do you know how to tell when an Alabama fan, an Alabama fan is married?
Let me think about that for a second. Do I know how to tell an Alabama fan that's married?
No, he's married.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They have to back a juice spit down both sides of their pickup truck.
Somebody ought to do a book about that, a bunch of Alabama jokes. That would be a big seller.
Oh, I've got a million of them, you know, but a lot of them I can't say on the air. Or I wouldn't say on the air since I have found the Lord and I'm a Christian now.
Oh, absolutely, no. You know, by the way, I'm not a theologian, but I think you can still tell Alabama jokes if you're a Christian.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, even the ones that are.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fair game. Especially after a season like this.
And being a big fan, I'm sure you remember who Louis Grizzard was.
Oh, my goodness. Do I ever?
And, I still have some of his cassette tapes and just reading his books, listening to his cassette tapes, and you know, get a lot of my Alabama jokes from him.
I've said this before, but I mean, he if Lewis was, there's no telling if Lewis was alive today. I mean, and by the way, there was never a chance he was going to be alive today.
No.
But I mean, that's not like, you know, a close call there, but he would certainly be having fun with this Georgia run.
Oh, wouldn't he? And you know, and reading his columns every day in the AJC, which I used to do, the Atlanta Journal Constitution. I would love to be able to open the paper today and read one of those columns.
No, that's absolutely.
He's a funny guy. You know, I thought about it. I saw something the other day that some of his, I call them Grizzardisms. You know, he was married several times, and he said, "You know, I'm never going to get married again. I'm just going to." Find a woman that that hates me and buy a house and give it to her.
Hey, thanks so much. We can do those jokes. I like those jokes. They're funny. We'll take a break. Unfortunately, we are late to get away, but we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back. Let's try Joe again in PA.
How are you?
Okay, Joe.
Thanks for taking my call. I got two things, a Don Staley thing and a Bear Bryant story for you.
Okay.
I want to say kudos to Don Staley and her number one ranked undefeated Lady Gamecocks. And kudos to her beloved, and I mean beloved football team, the Philadelphia Eagles, going to the Super Bowl. Fly, Eagles, fly. And, Paul, I got a good Bear Bryant story for you.
Shoot.
I don't know how long ago I heard it, but they were in the game, and they were ahead by a couple points, and he had a quarterback in there who was not very fleet-footed. And he told the quarterback, there's only seconds left, don't give up the ball, be careful, don't do anything crazy. That quarterback saw one of his receivers wide open, threw the ball, and it got intercepted. And he started chasing that defensive back all the way down the field. And a couple yards before the other end zone, he tackled that defensive back. And the game was over, and Bama won. And they were interviewing Coach Bryant after the game. They said, well, Coach, were you surprised your quarterback caught that defensive back? And he said, hell no. He said that defensive back was just running to win the game. He was running for his life, my guy.
That's great. Hey, thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Kevin is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing wonderful. Thank you for calling.
All right. I got a question to ask you. I'm going to see if I can stump you. And then another one is on JK. I want to what he was talking about earlier. So I'm gonna get on JK real quick. And I'm one that I've called in here lately, but I try to listen.
Thank you.
But you think J.K. might hate Alabama because 1992 in the Sugar Bowl, we thumped them. And how about then last year in Atlanta, we thumped them in football and turned around, and I think we beat them in basketball last year. And J.K., I'm a lot older than you. I've been around, and I've been through the bad times of Alabama. Like Miami had bad times too, so I'm not just a bandwagon rider.
I think you're 100% right, and he also lives in Birmingham, where he's subjected to the Alabama drumbeat every day, and I don't think he can handle it.
All right, Paul. Here's the stumper. Oh, and by the way, before I forget it too, I went to Baumhauer's and ate a couple of weeks ago for my birthday, and I met Sherman Williams.
Oh, wow.
In there.
What an interesting story that is, yeah.
He was doing autographs, and I asked him about Coach Stallings, and see, he said he had talked to him in a a few days before, being there, and said he was doing good still.
That's. I think we interviewed Sherman a couple of years ago when he talked about his life, and he's had quite an extraordinary career.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. He signed a friend of mine's Dallas Cowboy pitcher. I don't like the Cowboys. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. It was hard for me to do that. I told Sherman, you played for the wrong team in the Super Bowl. He was showing his trophy. And I said, thanks to Neil O'Donnell, y'all won that day.
That's great. Hey, Kevin, thank you very much for calling. We're heading to a break. We've got a busy show. We have Coach Hurts on, Jalen Hurts' dad, earlier in the program, Pat Forty, Blake Topmeyer, number of guests. We'll continue with your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.